Welcome to Canada's Real Estate Podcast, your compass to all things real estate. And now, here's your hosts, Carla Brown and Adrian Schultz, Canada's real estate experts.
Wow, today we're talking about one of my favorite things, litigation in the United States of America and a verdict amounting to $1.8 billion against, is it a real estate brokerage? Is it an association? Is it against an industry? Where is this all going?
Okay, before we get started, because you're like looking really serious today, you just took your jacket off. We're not normally together, listeners, when we're doing podcast recordings. And if you've listened to us for a long time, you know that Adrian's suspenders often come out. So the suspenders have come out to play today, which is awesome. So thank you for that, Adrian, as I'm trying to stay here so straight-faced in our recording today. And you've brought out what is probably the most serious topic that's out there right now.
Yeah.
So this lawsuit that has a verdict now, it's been going on obviously for a long time, and it is against the National Association of Realtors in the U.S.
And that's NAR.
NAR. Yes. Yeah, always known as NAR. And a number of companies / brokerages. And they do feel there's going to be more that's coming out. And it is being appealed. So this is not done. But what is so interesting is the verdict. The verdict that came across is that really the way we've been doing real estate all of these years is being questioned. And question in a way that people are potentially going to be awarded damages for. And a lot of conversation in Canada has really circled around, is this going to affect Canada?
Yeah, and that would then be CREA.
Right.
That's the equivalent to NAR in Canada.
Yeah, okay. And as we're recording this podcast right now, people can look this up, it's public knowledge, there is actually a lawsuit in play right now that is against CREA, and a real estate company or companies, I don't recall, sorry, on was it, but it's very, very similar. So we would be very naive in Canada to think that what just happened in the US is not going to impact us here in Canada. We have very different legal systems, mm-hmm. but our real estate systems are very similar. We work normally for sellers. We have an agreement with a seller to sell a piece of real estate. In that agreement, there is a compensation known as commission, where part of that commission is then given to the brokerage that brings the buyer, or the buyer brokerage as it's referred to. Mm-hmm. This has been real estate for as long as I've known it. I mean, buyer brokerage is out there, buyer agents is out there. That's been going on for years in Canada. But the normal, everyday, what we see in real estate is that here is a property for sale. When you buy that property, you're paying X amount of dollars. And that is actually going to pay the commission on both sides of the transaction.
I just want to dig a little bit deeper into that. So when you sign a listing agreement with your listing agent, the real estate commission, the percentage is predetermined in that listing agreement. And when a buyer, when someone makes an offer on that listing, the listing agent shares a portion of that commission with the buying or with the buyer's agent. Do I have that right?
That's traditional real estate. Now, just the careful wording with the predetermined amount, because commissions are negotiable. So if you are listing, if you are a Mr. and Mrs. seller and you're selling your house, that's negotiable with whoever you're engaging in that contract.
Yeah.
But traditional real estate is that price tag includes the commissions for both parties. And this lawsuit could potentially tear that apart. And
what's allegedly wrong with this?
Well, wrong, I don't know if I would say it's wrong. I think having that transparency and making sure that all parties know who's getting what money, like there's nothing wrong with that.
It's transparent, it's disclosed.
What I see, and a lot of people are seeing this, so this isn't just my observation, is that this is looking at it at an almost backwards way, because our financial institutions have not caught up to this lawsuit. So if I am a buyer now, if I have to go in and say I have to now pay a buyer commission and purchase the property, how am I getting financed for that? Because my financing is based on the purchase price of that property, right?
Which included the commissions plural. Yes.
So I see this really impacting the first-time home buyers, those that are looking to upsize but maybe stretched a little bit. There's not a lot of room to play. So what potentially could happen, does that drive down the value of what a buyer's agent or buyer brokerage is? Because now they're just going to have like fixed flat fees or like this. Who knows, right? These are all speculations.
This pie in the sky. Yeah.
But the reality is that it is something that everyone in Canada should be paying close attention to if you are in this space, because we do know that we often follow the U.S., whether we like it or not. And I'm really going to be watching this case in Canada closely. And we can update our listeners, of course, as it progresses and we find out more, because I'm interested to see what happened there, how now they're going to leverage that here in Canada.
Was it just in a single state where this verdict occurred?
Super interesting. Yes. And since then, there have been a number of others that have launched.
In other states, because they're going to use that as their launching point. And in Canada, our provinces each have their own, aside from having the national or the Canadian Real Estate Association, CREA, we do have provincial associations. We have provincial real estate acts, provincial mortgage acts, and we have provincial regulators. So it's not a one effort catches all scenario. It actually has to be dealt with on an individual province basis, which will get very costly and create a wonderful legal fee environment.
Yeah, it'll start out provincial and then it'll branch. Although this one here in Canada right now has named the Canadian Real Estate Association. It's probably named the local association as well. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, in the legal, you know how they do. Yep. Name whoever you can.
Sure.
But I also want to say something really interesting about the U.S. lawsuit. And that is two big companies actually mediated and settled before the verdict came through. And that was RE/MAX and Anywhere. Anywhere, as you know, is also a company that owns Century 21 in the U.S. We're the master franchisor here in Canada for Century 21, but we have that connection.
They own many brands. They own Century 21, Coldwell Banker, Home & Garden, Sotheby's. They own a lot of real estate brands. Wow.
And both of them settled. And it's interesting because I think everyone thought they were nuts to be throwing out this amount. But now looking back, they protected their companies. They protected
all of they're indemnified going forward.
That's right. They protected themselves from everything going forward, as well as they protected their offices and their franchise locations and their brokerages. So if I was in the U.S., I would be joining one of them. Like, I think there's like this huge opportunity in that franchise world for people to be looking at other options just because of what is coming out of that settlement.
So they proactively dealt with the situation.
Yeah. They were willing to take the risk and put out the dollar figure and not just wait to see whether or not it all panned out in their favor. So like I said, I think everyone thought they were maybe a little crazy when they did it, but it was quite a strategic move.
I think it's also noteworthy to say that both RE/MAX and Anywhere are publicly traded companies. They're on the stock exchange, right? So there may have been real forward-thinking fiduciary duties from those board of directors and from the executives of those companies to tackle this head-on. I'm impressed by it. You know, I asked you earlier, is all of this covered by liability or errors and omissions insurance?
No. And I mean, in Canada, I don't know.
We don't know
but
yet.
But I know in the U.S. That there is not coverage. So it is going directly after the pockets of these companies. And sure, some of them have big pockets, but not that big.
No. Because how far back do they go, right? So here, what would we have? Like, who are the players? The Real Estate Association, the provincial regulators, the provincial real estate associations. You've got multiple layers of government, at least provincial and federal government. But we've got the Competition Bureau, right? Then you've got insurance companies that are going to play. So this is a stew of a situation.
It's a stew of a situation that could absolutely change the way of real estate going forward. It's not going to happen next month, but listen to us as we come out with these. We will keep you up to date as we learn more and more. And we do have the advantage of being aligned very closely with a very good source in the U.S. that's close to the real estate industry that's watching it. They're telling us what's going on in the U.S. And then, of course, we're going to watch this case here in Canada. So,
yeah. Now that's real estate in Canada.
Thanks for listening to Canada's Real Estate Podcast. If you like this episode, please subscribe and give us a rating. The content shared is for informational purposes and reflects the opinions of the hosts. Connect with us online at canadasrealestatepodcast.ca. Today's episode is brought to you by Century 21 Canada, the gold standard in real estate. Explore listings, find an agent, and get advice at www.c21.ca.